Hey GP learners, in this session we're going to be talking to the team from Exxon as they talk through various different options and abilities for you to look at how you can use telecommunications in your practice so much more effectively. Since the pandemic has happened, many practices have had to focus on using this, and particularly with telephone and online consultations dominating the workload that we've got. It'd be nice to know there's better ways we can do this. So we're going to have them join us. Let's tech enhance your primary care and learning. Hey GP learners, so I've got the team from Exxon joining us today. So we've got Paul, Stephen and Derek that are going to be talking through the various different options that Exxon have to help us support you in practice. I'm going to let them each introduce themselves when we get to them, but I'm going to hand over to Paul to kick us off. Let's go, Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul Wensley. I'm the CEO of a company Exxon, and our main product is called Surgery Connect, which some of you may have heard of, which is a cloud telephony solution aimed firmly at primary care. So we've been around for about 20 years, though we look a lot younger, I'm sure. And but in the last 8 years, we focused our telephony products solely on focused on primary care and how we can solve particular problems in that area. And that's when we've developed Surgery Connect. So we're in about 800 practices, growing very rapidly. That number's doubled in size probably in the last 12 to 18 months and continues to go at a pace. Our solution is a cloud-based telephony system, but it's not just telephony. It also is a what we call an omnichannel solution. So it covers some other aspects of communicating between GPs and patients, such as video, text, and as we'll see. This is what's been happening over the last year in just growth of calls. It looks like it's tailing off in January. That's just the graph, the data I had to draw that graph stopped in January, but it's continued on its inexorable growth. This is number of phone calls made to and from general practice through our systems over the last year during the course of the pandemic. And as you can see, telephony has retained its place as an important part of the communicating between patients and GPs in particular. What has changed, though, is that the way that happens. 18 months ago, the situation was that patients would queue up typically on a Monday morning to wait for an appointment slot, and then they would march into the practice. Almost overnight, we moved to a telephone triage model where the record was taken for the GP to give them a call back. So we saw a big switch from inbound to outbound phone calls during March last year. And the second thing that we assisted the market with was being able to work from home. So in a number of cases, practices closed altogether and GPs were doing that telephone triage from home. So that was a big change over the last year. And really, some of those things could only be adopted with cloud telephony. Sort of legacy phone systems have problems in that area. So my colleague, Stephen, is going to take you through some more detail about Surgery Connect. But before we do that, just one more slide I'll show you. Just one more, which is a sort of ecosystem, as we might call it, as to what Surgery Connect consists of. So what we've got here is the patient. This is how things tend to work at the moment. So the patient is calling in or going online to request a problem or request a callback. They go through to Surgery Connect, Surgery Reception. We can provide a level of self-help at that stage. So the one thing that we found, for example, recently, a practice reported that about 20% of their calls in were people saying, when's in my turn for the vaccine? So actually that could be, those 20% of callers could be handled automatically through a message that tell them you're only 23, you've got to wait a bit longer. And so there is an efficiency there, but a lot of what we do is about call center type distribution of inbound calls, distribution, making sure they're dealt with effectively. And as Stephen will show you, ringing back patients so they don't have to wait in a call queue for an hour or more sometimes, we've seen in the past. And then the second part of this is a healthcare professional, a GP, calling back patients. And they will be typically starting off with a phone call, but maybe switching along the way to a video call or exchanging photo if that's relevant, and I'll show you some of the tools that are available to simplify that process along the way and make it as smooth and efficient as possible. And then all this feeds through into the sort of management information, which is that pink blob on the right, which is really telling everybody how efficiently or how what the problems are, how to staff those inbound and outbound call activities, and make sure that we've got feedback as to how that's being managed. So to leave more time, I'm going to hand over to Stephen now, who's going to take through some of the more detailed features of Surgery Connect. And at the end, I'm going to introduce Derek, who's going to tell you a bit more sneak preview about our new desktop tools as well, which is the toolbar. So, Stephen.
Okay. Cool. So, Stephen, take it away.
Hello, everyone. Stephen Braithwaite, and I'm product manager for Surgery Connect. So just to follow on from what Paul was saying there, Surgery Connect is a complete replacement phone system for practices, just to bring their phone system into the modern age. What I'm going to just go through is a few of the key features. There are many more that I could talk about, but these are the ones that our practices are benefiting from. They're using widely. They've been in the market for a couple of years, so they're sort of well matured. I'll talk about how they're implemented and what benefits they're bringing. And we feel that these are the sort of base level requirements that a phone system should have, whether it's us that's supplying it or anybody else. These are the sort of things that allow you to operate efficiently. So just to start with a super simple diagram of the differences with cloud telephony. There is a wide variation on the way that things work, but generally old telecoms, they'll have the processing in the practice itself. So there'll be something physical sitting there, taking the calls, playing announcements to patients, distributing the calls around the practice. That, of course, causes a bottleneck at the practice. They can only receive certain amounts of calls. They can only process certain amounts of calls. And that leads to inefficiencies in working. So cloud basically moves that intelligence away from the practice. Calls are processed on our platform. That means that there's masses of capacity to be able to process them. Any information prompts are played from our platform. And then the calls are only passed to the practice once they're ready to be answered or if somebody's making a call out. And that line into the practice is not over physical lines, traditional lines. It will be over a broadband connection, again, increasing the capacity and increasing efficiency. So that's a very simple diagram of sort of the main differences. So it's really surprising to me the number of GPs that I speak to who are still having trouble making outbound calls. It's an inefficient way of working. They're competing with the inbound traffic. Their phone system only has a certain amount of capacity. So if there's lots of people coming in, they can't make for outbound phone calls. It's a daily struggle. They set aside special times to be able to do this, to make outbound calls. Sometimes they're sitting and using their own personal mobile, which is obviously a crazy situation to be in. What we want is efficient outbound calling. Every staff member can pick up a phone and make a call. It doesn't matter how many patients are coming in. That doesn't impact you making calls out. And you can make a call when you need to make a call. These things are often spur of the moment. You don't need to have to wait until 3 o'clock when you know that the system is a bit freer. So that's the sort of first really simple way that that the cloud telephony helps. On the inbound side, again, there's no capacity limit. So the default patient experience is that they will always know that they've called you. They'll hear a welcome message. Not getting that engaged tone. Whenever I phone somebody and it's engaged, I get frustrated. I have to keep phoning back. It becomes a bit of a lottery if I get through to the system or not. That just not having that engaged tone is a benefit. And then patients know how busy you are because we tell them how many people are in the queue. So it's then informing the patient. They can make a decision at that point. Do I want to hold on? Will I call back later? So it's giving the patient a bit more information about what's going on. And one of our sort of really popular features is we know it as QBuster. It's essentially an automated callback facility. So that can be configured to kick in at certain times, at certain busy periods, at whatever level you want it to kick in. And it will offer the patient another choice. we can call you back if you want to. If you want to end your call now, we'll save your position in the queue. You'll make your way down the queue, and then we'll call you back at the beginning. So a couple of points on that. So for the patient, if they're calling on a pay-as-you-go mobile, they're not paying to queue to speak to the practice. The receptionists who are answering the calls, nothing different is needed from them. The calls get put through to them in exactly the same way. So it's no hassle. It works automatically. It kicks in when needed. And it really does give the patients a better experience when they're calling in. From last month, so this is March 2021, across 363 practices that we have using this facility. Those are the figures. I won't read them out because that will waste far too much time. But of the people that were offered that option, 48% took it. Now, it doesn't, I think 50%, around 50% is good, because we don't expect everybody to want to take it. If they don't take it, they queue normally anyway, so they're not missing out. But that choice shows that 50% of people are happy to take that option. Of the callbacks that we then make to the patients that have selected that option, we got through 86% of those people made it through to the practice. The ones that didn't were the people that cancelled their callback or didn't answer the callback. We have a retry strategy, so it does keep trying as much as we can. But if the patient isn't answering, there's not much we can do about that. So it is quite good numbers with regards to the people that take that option and the callbacks that are processed. The really eye-opening figure is that saved patients 141,000, over 141,000 hours in that month of queuing. That's all of that time would have been spent by patients waiting in the queue, listening to the same piece of music, just getting frustrated. So those that time saved is really the key figure. And that equates to about 26 minutes per call. So if we say, as I said, it helps out pay-as-you-go mobile users. It's not cheap to make a 26-minute call on a pay-as-you-go mobile. So those are really the sort of figures. And it's one thing having a feature that has benefits. If people don't make use of that feature, then it's not too useful. But those are the figures that we've recognised just for the last month. So Surgery Connect is slightly different in the way that it operates. Apologies, I'm going to be jumping from feature to feature here, but Surgery Connect really focuses on users. And this comes down to partly down to the pandemic, where more flexible working is needed. Social distancing may be an operation, isolation may be an operation. So people may have to work in different locations, or they may have to work at home. But Surgery Connect essentially means that they can still continue to use the phone system as if they were in the practice. So it breaks down the walls of your practice, and the phones can be used wherever, or the phone system can be used wherever. So just to put that into a real life situation, we've got a user. It's a user on the user is on the system, and that user is an internal short dial number of 203. So because it's a user-based system, people are contacted as a user, and this person has 203. So if they're in the main practice in consultation room 2 in the morning, 203 will go through to that room. If in the afternoon they have to go to consultation room 7, dialing 203 will go through to that room. If they have to work at the branch practice the next day and they're in a consultation room there, you dial 203 and it will go through to that room. If they're working at home, you dial 203 and it will go there. So people can have the flexibility to move. They're still using the phone system. But if you want to communicate to somebody, you don't change the way that you communicate. You dial their number and the system will find them wherever they are. So it gives that flexibility, and that also works as at home, as I said. So people can move around, but you're not adding confusion into that. So again, another sort of aspect of the system that's really useful for people is the visibility. So what I'm showing here is a sort of management view of the live console. It's a web console, so no special software needed. And it gives a live view of the phone system. A brief overview of what we have. On the left-hand side is a sort of what we call the call list. So these are all of the telephone calls that are going on at the moment. The coloured ones, green for inbound, blue for outbound, and the most important ones, red for queuing. So you can see which teams people are queuing for, You can see how long people have been queuing for each of those teams. So it gives management a really good view of what's going on. You've got all of your completed calls at the bottom here. So as soon as a call is completed, it loses its colour. And the important part there is you get your call recordings straight away. So we store call recordings for 3 years. Having access to those call recordings for patient disputes or training, that means that you've got every conversation for that 3 year period there, and it's all available via this web console. There's no digging around in a dusty PC under the stairs to get a call recording. It's all there on your screen in front of you. So that's really useful to see for management. The area on the right hand side here is sort of an internal dial list. It's all of your colleagues, all of your staff, and the colour that they appear will tell you whether they're actually active on the system. So it's both for management to say, is that person in that I expect to be in working, and are they taking calls? But also, if you want to phone someone in the practice, you can see whether they're around. It stops those wasted calls where you try somebody and they're not around or they're busy at the moment. You can see what they're up to. The colour will tell you whether they're available or in do not disturb. Their initials will tell you whether they're actually in a telephone call or not at the moment. So it's a real-time internal list that allows you to see what's going on. So that's a very brief overview. There is one thing I want to show you as a demo in a moment. Just check the time. Okay. So Paul mentioned at the beginning the remote working and how that's become much more prevalent over the last 12 months. So we have, as part of the solution, and everything that I'm showing here is standard, so it's not an additional cost, it's all built into the system. We have a soft phone that's built into the phone system. So that's the soft phone in its sort of idle state. It's a keyboard, it's a virtual phone that appears on your PC or laptop. When you're in a telephone call, which this phone here is, you've got all of the things that you can do. You can mute, you can hold, you can transfer. So it's just another way to make and take calls, but people can use it away from the practice, but it's still connected to the practice phone system. So every user can access this. It just runs in a browser, so no different software needed. This also has video built into it as well, which is the demo that I'm going to show you. Most importantly, it stops you having to use your personal mobiles to make and receive calls. All of the calls, if you're working at home and you make a call using the soft phone, it will show the practice telephone number. All of the calls are logged and recorded. So it really is joined into the phone system, and it basically just frees up people to be able to do what they need to do on the phones without having to be located on the practice site. Okay, so I am just going to quickly switch to a soft phone. So this is a training account. This is my soft phone. I just want to show a quick call and switch that to video just so you can see that in operation and not only looking at static screens. So I'm just making a call out to my mobile. It's not a particularly realistic demonstration, but so I'll just answer that. So as I said, when you're connected, you have all of the functions on your screen that you use your mouse to interact with. So I've just popped it on hold there to stop the feedback. I'll just switch this call to video. So I click on the video link and I confirm that I want to send that patient a link. And that will just confirm. So the patient that you're talking to will receive a text message. They will access that text message and they will just click the link in the message. And then they will start the video recording. So when they accept that video call, the audio call will end. And then the video call will come in shortly afterwards. So as the GP will just then answer that, and then they'll be connected to the patient via video there. He says confidently. There we go. So that's sort of a very quick demo of the switch to video. So I basically made a phone call out there to a patient. I had started the consultation. I decided halfway through that it would be nice to see a video of that patient. So I, with a couple of clicks of a mouse button, I'd switch to video. No need to preemptively set up that session. It can happen on the fly, and the link is all of the patient needs. I mentioned call recording. recording. That call recording is already available. Even though it was a video call, we still recorded the audio of that call recording. And listening to that call recording is as easy as just pressing the button, and then that will load up on your screen. So there we go. So that's the sort of quick switch to video. But ultimately, the soft phone extends the use of your practice phone system to anywhere you need to be. And it just allows for that flexibility. So I'm just, apologies again for jumping around. So I'm just going to go back to my slides. So the system is also integrated with the clinical system. The two main benefits that I wanted to just mention there is that the for the receptionists, it will start identifying patients when they're calling in. So we've made a search of the patient data before the patient even gets to speak to somebody. When the call is ringing on the receptionist phone, they'll get a pop-up on their PC screen that will tell them which patients match that calling number. Due diligence can still be applied, so they can check the date of birth of the patient, and then they just click on the name once they know who it is, and it will switch over to that patient record in the clinical system. So it's sort of a quickening the patient identification process. There is a bit more information. It will tell them how long that person's been queuing for. So if there's any claims of a lengthy wait by the patient, which doesn't show to be true, you've got the facts there about how long that person was queuing for, and it will also say who was the last person that person that telephone number spoke to in the practice. So it helps the receptionist direct the calls a little bit better, but the main part is identifying that patient quickly and just clicking on the name to switch. On the outbound side of things, lots of people are calling patients more and more, so having the ability to quickly call the patients is a real benefit without having to type the number into a phone. So when you're looking at a patient in the clinical record, you can either use your keyboard. These are the shortcuts that will call the active patient. So once you get the hang of that, that's a split second to get those calls out to those patients, either the home number or the mobile number, depending on the shortcut that you choose. There's also the ability to do that via mouse. So there'll be a Surgery Connect icon on the toolbar. When you click that, it will be showing the patient details that's currently live in the clinical system, and then you've got the call information there. You also notice we've got SMS built into that as well. Derek will come on to that in a moment. So this is the sort of current state of the integration. Derek is sort of going to move on to what the next iteration of that will look like. And then at the end of the communication, there's the ability to associate that call recording to the clinical record. So it doesn't currently write into the clinical record, but it will make a virtual link between the patient and that call recording. Again, just for a sort of an extension of the patient record. So there's a call recording record there for you. So the final part and that I just wanted to talk about is... again, has become quite prevalent over the last 12 months, and that's informing your patients, getting the information to your patients that they need to know. And receptionists are likely answering the same questions over and over again. Many times a day, they're saying the same thing. The patients that are asking these questions are clogging up the phone system and increasing the call queues, causing frustration for the people who actually do need to contact the practice for a clinical matter. So using the phone system to inform patients is a really useful tool. In order to make that useful, the messaging needs to be dynamic depending on the requirements of the patient. So if they've chosen prescriptions area, play messages about prescriptions and how you handle those. If it's the appointments area, play messages about that. They also need to be quickly updatable. So a classic example there is at the beginning of the COVID outbreak, advice was changing all of the time. And if you had to update your phone system, it was often a call into your supplier asking them to adjust the audio, which could take a couple of days. And by the time that happened, the situation had changed again. So being able to update that on the fly is really useful. And we use something called Xflow, which I will just show you a quick demo of in a moment. Essentially, It is a full management tool that allows people to update their call flow as and when they need to. It's something really that you will only get a feeling for once you actually see it. So I'm just going to open up a call flow. If you just hold on 2 seconds. Okay, so I'm going to go into my main call flow here and just give you a feeling of what a practice can do with regards to updating their call flow. Sorry, I should have loaded this up prior to the event.
I guess just whilst we're waiting for that to come up and stuff, you mentioned about the call recording and particularly using that from a remote aspect a little bit earlier on. Does that mean that you can also have multiple lines coming in attributed to different things? So, for example, if I had some of my team working from home doing the prescriptions, could you actually have a separate incoming line, well, number, but then that feeds them into the same system? Does that make sense? So a number for prescription requests or a number for appointments and that kind of stuff. Could you actually do that with the system, or is it just one number and then it filters through to different departments from there? Do you want to know how to use System One more effectively as a clinician? There are various different things you can look at, but there is only one course that can help you understand this and have all my hints and tips on how to use System One so much more effectively. And that's the System One course for clinicians. If you want to have a look at it, have a look bit.ly/TPPS1course, TPP and S1 in capitals. But if you do have a look at it, what will you get? Well, you'll get content and information and guides on how to use System One more effectively, from getting started with System One to navigating the patient record, to understanding the key parts like doing a consultation, as well as prescribing, clinical admin, communication, and various other information. And this includes my hints and tips on how to use System One so much more effectively, so it saves you time and your patients stress in terms of their navigation with their patient journey. If you want to have a look at it, check out the link. As I said, it's bit.ly/TPPS1course. And the TPP and S1 are all in capitals, and you will get access to all this content perfectly. Even better yet, there's a money back guarantee. So if you don't actually find this course has helped save you some time, just let me know. I'll refund you the course once you've completed it and stuff. Catch you then.
It's all about, many practices have lots of telephone numbers, many of them they don't actually use. They can configure using this system here that I'm showing you to point to wherever awesome. They want to point them to. So if you have teams of people, and the what I mentioned about working at home is not only from a GP side making outbound calls to patients, receptionists can work at home. So if there is a need to isolate in reception and you can't have certain staff in, they can answer patient calls at home just as they would in the practice, because it's a user-based system. They're part of the reception team. They make themselves active at home using the soft phone, and patient calls will go through to those people at home. So it's really flexible, and it really depends on how the practice wants to operate. Thank you for filling that time, though. That was so I've just loaded up a call flow here, and it looks kind of daunting at first view, but this is a phone system. This is a logical route through the phones through a call flow. It starts on the left-hand side. This is where every call will come through, and you'll see the first thing that it comes to is a COVID-19 announcement. So if I double-click into that COVID-19 announcement and I go to the audio section, this is what it currently says. It's just a welcome message and a bit of information about COVID. If I wanted to add more information, so if something started, something changed, I type my message into this box and it updates the audio. So it's a text-to-speech engine. It means that you're not having to get somebody to record it. It's very good. Text-to-speech now is really realistic. You've got a choice of voices that you can create that audio in. So if you change your announcements, it literally takes a minute or two to do so. You type the message in and that's updated the phone system for you. Just to sort of show you an idea of some of the things that I mentioned about trying to prevent the receptionist from having to speak to anybody. We've got the main menu here. And within the audio here, what I've said is the first piece of information. If you would like to hear information about our COVID vaccine scheme, please press 5. Otherwise, listen to the following options. So we're introducing that information area right at the beginning. Hopefully, people might choose that section 5. And when they do choose that section 5, it comes down to this audio prompt that you can populate with all of the information using that text-to-speech engine. You say everything that you want to say. It never goes through to anybody. But that means that if you can get the information to that caller without having to speak to a person, that's one person out of the queue. And if that happens 10, 15 times a day, it reduces the workload. You're not repeating the same thing over and over again. The other thing that we've got here is that option 4 was, if you'd like to have information about our eConsult system, please press 4. And that comes to this SMS block. And anybody coming through that block will be sent a text message if they're calling from mobile, and it will just give you for registration details of for eConsult, go to this website. So they'll receive that on their smartphone as a text message. They can click on the link and they can go to that eConsult system. So I won't load up the other call flow because this one took so long. But another thing that we advise patients customers or put the sow the seed is that you could use one of those telephone numbers that aren't being used currently, and you can have a dedicated information line. So again, it never goes through to anybody. You can create a call flow using this team, this tool that has menus to different information areas: COVID information, practice information, flu clinic information. You can then have a, it's basically like having a sort of a bulletin board on the phone system. You can add messages, and as you can see, when you want to add a new message, you just create it in text to speech and it's there for you, and it's really quick. And so if you need to adjust things, so that was a very quick whistle stop tour of some of our key features. Hopefully some of that was sort of, you can recognize the benefits there. So at that point, I will pass back to Paul.
Thank you. Yes, a lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to immediately hand over to Derek because...
Oh, sorry.
because he's on next, and he's going to show us the new desktop tool that we are just releasing into the wild.
Thank you very much. Let me just share my screen. So as Stephen mentioned there, we have an existing integration application out there. And it's available for all customers for EMIS and System One right now. But we've been talking to all our customers and getting some really great feedback recently, and making changes to the integration application to make it a bit more user-friendly and introduce some better features in there. So I'm going to quickly go over some of those right now. I'm going to demo it within a sort of EMIS test environment here. So this is our sort of new toolbar application. It's pretty small and you can't see too much on there at the moment, but that's on purpose to keep the footprint very minimal. You can obviously put it wherever you want to on screen. I'm just going to leave it here so it's clearly, we can clearly see what's going on. Inside here, the newest thing is the soft phone is now very much part of this application. The one that Stephen just showed you there was inside a browser, but we've taken it out of the browser and it's now part of this application. So you've got a fully functioning phone right there on your desktop or laptop to use and integrate with the phone system. Now I'm going to do a normal inbound call to show the inbound sort of patient lookup side of it. So here's my incoming call. I can answer that call, speak to the person. We've already looked up. Actually, in this case, it's matched 3 particular patients. They're all test patients. So I can just click on that particular patient, and there you go, it's made within EMIS the active patient. So I can then carry on talking to the patient and book the appointment or whatever we need to do. Now, the next part is sort of outbound communication part. So you might be starting to look at a patient record and decide you need to communicate with them in some way. So we have a few options here. This will provide you with all the sort of communication options for the current patient you have. So it's gone into the clinical system. It's picked out the mobile number in this case and a home phone number. And you can single click to dial them if you wanted to have a conversation, or if it's a mobile number, you can get some SMS options. We have templated SMS that you can change to include whatever you want. So it's just some templated coronavirus information, and off it goes to the patient. It's all fairly standard things these days. The other thing that's new from feedback from customers was, as well as video that Stephen showed you, is we've now request a photo. So if I, in particular, wanted to see something that a patient was reporting, we would request a photo. That sends an SMS to the patient, and they get a web link to a secure place to upload their photo to. And then that comes back into the system, so you can have photos here. Then the other key difference this time is writing things back to the clinical record. So within this contact history here, you get all the communication items that you've had with this particular patient. So photo in this case, SMS is here, and the call recordings as well. They're all there and available for you to see. But you can also choose to write those back to the patient record for the first time. So I think this particular SMS is important. I'm going to keep that and store that with the patient record. So I'm just going to file it here. And we should see that somewhere up here that eventually EMIS has created a consultation and the patient record has been updated. It's removed it from this section of the screen. And it's now safely associated with this patient record. So that was a very quick whistle-stop tour of some of the new features. These changes are being trialled in the next week or so for our EMIS customers, and then we are making the same visual and feature improvements for System 1 and also Vision and Cegedim users very soon after. And that's the end of my part, so back to Paul.
Thanks, Eric. There's one more area that I didn't cover that was on my original ecosystem picture, which is also being released over the next month, which is our patient app that allows actually patients to engage in telephone, video, photo exchange, and file exchange, and text exchange through a single application on the patient's iPhone or Android mobile. That would take quite feature rich. It's quite a lot to describe, so that was subject of another session, I would hope. That is coming to fruition very, very shortly, and we've had some support for the development of that from an innovation grant. So I think that's covered most things. I hope I've left us enough room for a few questions, if you've got any.
Absolutely, and I have got loads.
Great. So that's good. I'm very pleased about that, and
whilst we're waiting for more questions to come in from our people that are watching us live, feel free to ask your questions in the chat and I'll put them over. But whilst we're waiting for those to come in, I'm just gonna ask a few, if that's all right, because I've got a couple. So I guess to go a little bit backwards, because the fresher things are in my memory, so you mentioned about the app, first of all, that you're planning on releasing shortly. Will that also be integrated within the NHS app ecosystem so that it kind of sits behind the front door, or will it be a separate app that patients would have to access and download and things?
So we've designed the app with an SDK so that it can sit within other partner apps. And so we're having a number of discussions with different partners to see who is interested in taking that on board. From other, so we don't want to make it our own property if somebody else would like to use it. And it's very much enabling the communication side of everything. So, for example, it becomes a least cost routing exercise between calling a patient. I mean, we've had practices of reporting phone bills creeping up towards the £10,000 a month recently, which is astronomical. This effectively does least cost routing and therefore eliminates cost of calls and SMS effectively to patients. And therefore, we're having discussions with a number of app providers, not specifically the NHS app yet, but we want to make sure that we've got something solid to show when we engage further in those conversations.
Okay. You also mentioned about the option to send for patients to send photos back to you, and then they are then integrated within the system. How well is that hopefully going to be in terms of saving? Because I know sometimes one of the issues that clinical systems have, obviously, particularly with the quality of smartphones nowadays, that the photo sizes can be quite large. Obviously, that's a large file potentially to store in the records and potential slowdown and stuff. So does it do things like compression of the images to make it quicker and easier to access and stuff?
Absolutely, yeah. Built-in compression, and with checking that the compression is hasn't destroyed any vital information, is part of the GP side software once the photo is received. Same goes for call recordings as well. They're compressed to MP3s so that they can be stored. And actually, a call recording of a 3-minute call is a similar size to a smartphone picture, interestingly, so that they're both occupying similar spaces within the patient record.
Okay. I'm a bit of a System One nut, as most people know. I run various things to support System One, and it's the system I use in practice. I'm going to ask a couple of questions focused around that. You already mentioned about the integration with systems and things. So apart from the app part, which I know you said is coming, everything else, is that equally integrated in terms of how it works in EMIS and System One and Vision, or is there differences that people may experience depending on what system they're using?
Two answers to that. Stephen showed you the existing integration software. So the new functionality within the toolbar that Derek showed is coming to System One. Exact date I will not give you now. Derek might be more forthcoming. And that I think that will be feature equivalent. Derek, is there anything that we found that's missing in here, guys?
No, there's no difference at all between the EMIS and System One integration versions. Yeah, everything we've shown is valid for both.
Cool.
Good.
Okay.
All the same.
Awesome. And I guess a lot of this runs through, I guess, internet-based systems, VoIP, and that kind of stuff. So two questions when it comes to internet access itself. Number one, is there a minimum kind of speed that's needed for a practice to run off this? And, you know, if they don't have that, how can they look at addressing that function? Because as you can imagine, I guess potentially for rural practices and stuff, there could be issues. And then the second question, which is the inevitable one that sometimes happens, what happens if the internet goes down?
So quite a complex set of questions there. So Cedric Connect is a phone system. Typically, over the last few years, we've always provided our own connectivity. The sort of typical practice N3 system, N3 connectivity hasn't got the bandwidth to cope with telephony and wasn't designed to do so. So if you become an Exxon Surgery Connect customer, we'd come along and we'd put our own connectivity in, which would be adequate, so such that every phone within the practice could make a call simultaneously if necessary. So none of the traditional lines limit. When we move into desktop activity, such as video on the desktop, that will now essentially use the HSCN network. And then we are slightly at the mercy of the practice's own bandwidth. This exactly the same as with any other sort of desktop activity and any other sort of video activity that's going on the desktop. We can still support the telephony, and therefore that second connection becomes a sort of point of resilience. But as another point, we always provide backup mobiles as part of the solution. They're built into the business model, so that if the worst happens and the digger goes through both your HSCN and the connection that we provide, calls still come in on the backup mobiles. Not much anyone's going to be able to say because they can't book you an appointment, but at least we can still take telephone calls through there, so we automatically reroute them to those mobiles.
Okay. really glad to hear that there's that kind of backup option as well. Unfortunately, I've been in a place where we've lost the internet for a good hour or so, and the impact, even just 10 minutes of losing, you know, that your phone lines and that kind of stuff on a practice can actually be quite seismic in terms of the, you know, the knock-on effect that it has. So really nice to hear that. And I must admit, seeing some of those features, yeah, really, really impressed. There's clearly a lot of blend over, I think, with some of the newer stuff we've seen from online consultation providers. You mentioned obviously the desktop app and that kind of stuff that we're seeing coming through. I guess for practices that do have those kind of systems already in place, how does the existing integration work? Is it that you see that this taking over some of those functions for the practices? Can you give us a flavor of what that might look like?
It's difficult to say how it will look moving forward. A lot of practices are obviously, a lot of GPs in particular, have their favoured tools now for communicating with patients. And we're not coming in to try and steamroll all those tools out of the way and replace them all if they're in existence. There are certain things that we consider work better. For example, if you're on a phone call, it's easier to switch to a video call during that phone call rather than put a patient into a waiting room and tell them to turn up at a certain time of day. So I think some types of integration, whether you call them omnichannel or not, work better when they start off from the phone call perspective. But I think there'll be a gradual sort of maturing of the market. People will choose their own tools by preference, and there were some things that other tools will do better. We have integrated with a certain number of online consultation tools, which we won't talk about today, so that they can use the online consultation in association with the video. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the gradual working together and integration that everybody needs to do to make sure that people aren't context switching the whole time between things that where it'd be easier to use one to start off with.
Cool. And I guess additionally with that, in terms of lost my trail of thought now. Where have we gone? So you showed us obviously the opportunity to adapt the phone message that comes through and the text to speech options with that, and the various different voices and things that came through. That was really impressive. And as a guy that likes podcasting and stuff, having, you know, text to speech to different voices, that sounds quite cool. And definitely one application I can see with that is having a dedicated information line that looks onboarding patients with the practice. I think it's something that general practice actually doesn't do very well. We're not very good at introducing patients into how they can use a particular practice. So, you know, giving information about how to request your prescriptions, how to request a visit, how to request an appointment, which, as you mentioned, over COVID has massively changed as well. There are so many features that you've shown us. I guess one of the obvious questions that comes through then is about cost. So can you give us a flavor of what these kind of things are likely to cost either a practice or potentially a larger footprint as well, if we're talking things like PCN networks, CCGs, because obviously that's where some of the financing for this kind of stuff obviously can come from as well.
Yeah, it's a very mixed picture in terms of financing and funding, because telephony has always come into the practice's remit. So if you come to us as a single practice, we have a cost model that is per extension per month, and it's a purely rental model. You don't pay anything up front, and it includes absolutely everything in terms of call costs, connectivity, handsets, backup mobiles, all the things we've talked about today, integration with the clinical system, and you're sort of with a headline cost of £27 per extension per month. But having said that, there are other models. They're funded models where, and we have customers who are entire CCGs where we've deployed across the CCG. Particularly, we're having a lot of conversation with PCNs where we're working out models for load sharing calls across PCNs, and people, staff moving between different practices within them. And there are different models that support those. And there are also models that are looking at desktop-only telephony, which particularly for home working and hubs, for example, such as COVID hubs that crop up very quickly, where we provided effectively a 20-seat call center overnight using soft phones. And they're subject to slightly different costing models because they don't involve the same amount of hardware, engineer visits to sites and things like that. And they will be more transactional based. And also we're with partners on the new frameworks. So all sorts of different answers to that. Unfortunately, it's not quite that simple, but it tends to be is as simple as we can possibly make it under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So just so I've got that right, for the kind of the nuts and bolts offer that you have, that was for a practice base, it was £27 per user per month. But obviously that can be subject to change depending on what kind of systems additionally you're having and various other things.
Yeah, that's a good start point, yeah.
And that would give you pretty much everything we've just seen in this stream.
Absolutely everything, unless you choose to dial overseas numbers or premium rate numbers. It's the only thing that we're not too keen on. Yeah,
yeah, I can imagine that. That shouldn't hopefully be something that happens regularly in general practice.
You would never seen it, never.
Fair enough. Cool. So I think we managed to cover all the questions from our audience in particular, which is a bit unusual, but glad to hear that we've been able to offer loads of informative advice and stuff. I guess if people on the stream do have any further questions, feel free to ask them now, because I've got one more question for the team, which I have kind of warned them about, but I was going to ask this one, and it does relate to some of the things that Paul just mentioned. So as many of my EGP learners know, I'm massively keen on finding the tech to make our lives easier. And one thing I've yet to find that works really, really well is a headset system that allows me to work with both my telephony and my computer at the same time, because I'm having to use two separate headsets, one for the computer and one for the phone line, because I've got a Mitel-based phone system at the moment in practice. Have you got potentially a solution that might work for us? Is that something that you're aware of? Or, you didn't really talk a great deal about the hardware side of things, I appreciate. But, yeah, quick question there for you.
Well, you as a GP could work easily on a soft phone because you're not really taking a high volume of inbound calls. You can walk away from and come back and put your headset on when you need to call the patient. And therefore, you can use the soft phone with any USB headset, the one you've got on at the moment, and that will be used for your telephony, video, and anything else you're doing at the same time. When it comes to reception, some receptionists will prefer to have a handset on the desk still. And we are looking at methods where you can still switch between the handset connected to a headset connected to that handset and the headset that's connected to the PC. But for the sort of triage process, a single headset will do the job and you don't need to switch between those two. So again, it's all part of trying to reduce the context switching of your working environment, really. So you only need the one.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And I can definitely see the benefit of having potentially a handset for someone who's dialing out a lot, because muscle memory when it comes to phones, actually a lot of us, I think, have got really good at doing it on the fly and stuff, whereas obviously doing that from a computer soft phone system, maybe it's sensible if you've got a separate number pad on your keyboard, but if you don't, like I don't, for example, yeah, top coat.
I think we'd argue that maybe if you're dialing patients or you're dialing regularly used numbers or internal extensions, that can all be done through the app on the desktop. So it's a single click as opposed to having to remember a phone number. So that'd be our angle on that one.
Cool. And you did show us some of the keyboard shortcuts that you have. I think it was Control Shift and H for home and Control Shift and M for mobile. I guess, are there other keyboard shortcuts that sit within the system and things?
There are different shortcuts here to get to different areas of the application. So they're ones for dialing directly. But if you wanted to go to the contact history, then there's a different shortcut to go there. There's certainly other options available.
Cool, awesome. Love keyboard shortcut. Definitely my EGP learners love that and know that and stuff. So thank you, team. I really enjoyed this and really been impressed, actually, with the system. Not sure if Paul remembers, I actually met him a couple of years or so ago at one of the conferences, and we talked briefly about it. I think this was pre your full integration with System One, potentially, because I know that was the thing waiting for. I think it was one of the Pulse conferences and stuff. But glad to hear it's definitely progressed, and that absolute integration with System One is a massive thing for me. So potentially, I'm quite interested now, I must admit. Yeah. So glad to hear it's progressed.
You could be a first.
Definitely.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been
absolutely great. It's been great to have you. I know I've learned a lot about the kind of progression and stuff that the company has made, and in terms of the depth and those resources. And I really do like that phone system, the kind of text to speech stuff. I think being able to change that on the fly really quickly, particularly like you said, with all the change we've had with COVID and stuff. Absolute game changer for me, particularly looking at the onboarding stuff and things. So I've really enjoyed that. I hope our EGP learners have done that as well. I know we've not had many questions this time. I guess it's probably because I've just overloaded you all with them already. If anybody does have any further questions, feel free to stick them in the chat and I'll make sure it gets back to the team so they can answer them and reply to them at their in time and stuff, so you can see the answers from there. And I guess, as always, EGP learners, we're here to help save you and your patients time by taking hands on your primary care and learning. If you do want to contact the team, I will put the links and stuff to their website on the show notes down below, so you can click onto that. You'll be able to have access to that shortly. If not, I guess, Paul, is there a better way for them to contact you?
That is fine. Or I'm on LinkedIn. Any way at all. Should be able to
cool. Find me. No problems. I'll stick them down below. Great. And I hope you've enjoyed this session. And as always, we're here to help save you and your patients time by taking hands on your primary care and learning. And we'll catch you in the next episode. See you later, great, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question, because let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.